The Two Brews in the Studio Show. The podcast.
One, two, three, four.
Salute to the Crave Jeans that you are. I'm the Betty Taylor, a.k.a. Hulk Brogan.
And my name is Tabari Fingle, a.k.a. the Brilliant Professor.
That's right.
Yeah.
Creatives.
Mm-hmm.
I see you out there.
Where they at?
They following us on Instagram.
There they go.
Yeah. Follow us on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
At Two Bros Show.
At Two Bros Show.
Then you can scurry on over to SoundCloud.
Please do.
And follow us at Two Bros Show.
Make sure you follow us. Make sure you like, comment, repost the whole nine yards.
That's right. Do what he said.
Follow
and then
directions.
Really wop on over to YouTube.
Please do.
And type in Two Bros in the Studio Show.
Yep.
And then you're going to pull up two handsome faces.
That's what I'm going to say.
And then there's going to be a search button somewhere along the line on the screen. And when you find that subscribe button, make sure you smash that.
Yep.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Like it.
Yep.
Comment it.
Yep.
Share it.
Mm-hmm.
Because sharing is caring.
And it's free.
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 All the way free.
Free 99.
That's how it is.
That's right. Yo. Professor, what's going on, man?
Man, I've been doing a lot of writing. I've been switching to,
writing?
Yeah, I've been switching up the gears a little bit. I haven't done much production, but I've been just really focusing on the writing.
Hey, getting that ink flowing?
Yeah, a little bit, because I've been so busy reading and redlining contracts, and then jumping into production side, and then doing our, like, marketing scheme and everything for this,
yep.
That I just haven't wrote bars in a minute, so I just decided to write some stuff.
All right, come on, man. How did that turn out? Because in the last episode, you mentioned that you got behind a computer and you tried to put down your ideas, and it came out like some turds.
Yeah, it was some trash, bro. It was some trash.
It's all good, bro.
No, but this joint was dope. I'm about to go ahead and record this joint, and I don't know, maybe release it with the Two Bros Show.
So it's going to be for you, or you writing for somebody else?
No, you know what? I ain't really trying to be an artist, but the way I found the best way to market yourself is to do what you're best at and let people see that. And then people, hit you up and see what's good. So it's summertime now. We're trying to attract a little bit more clientele to the studio.
Right.
As well as the, the business consulting stuff. So, that's the goal, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, just keep the jumping off.
That's what it is, bro. Keep positive energy around you. You know?
Yeah, man. I think one thing to living a healthy life, man, just stay sucker free, man.
Sucker free, boss. Yeah. No, real life.
Keep them suckers. Keep them squares out.
Shout out, Pat.
Yeah, keep them GMO bros out your circle.
Keep the GMO bros out the circle. Real life.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely, man. No GMO bros.
No GMO bros.
Hey, man.
Two bros in the studio show coining phrases. That's how we do.
Hey, man. No GMO bros. Hey, so look. Last week I was out of town in Dallas.
Yeah.
Shout out to my man Dom. And Easy E Eric.
That's what's up.
You know what I'm saying?
They treat you good out there?
Yeah, man. The food was excellent, right?
I bet you it was.
But there was something exciting that happened.
All right.
We played a game called Disc Golf.
Disc Golf. Okay, because I've never heard of this, I'm going to bite. What the hell is Disc Golf?
It's like Frisbee and golf mix, right? So you got a little disc. Right?
All right.
And you throwing the disc into this basket. It's like a metal basket with some chains and stuff on it.
All right.
Guys, Google it. Right? But I'm going to tell you what, bro. I thought that they were just playing around, like they making up game. I'm like, dude, what is it? Like basketball or something like that? You know what I'm saying? Holly hopping squares. Like, y'all niggas just be making, games up. Y'all that bored out here, dog, in Dallas. But it is a real thing, man. So I went on Instagram and they have like its own little professional tournament and some more stuff, right?
Holy
so anyway,
crap.
We went two days playing this, right? First day,
look at Vader getting cardio in. Look at you. I see.
And for real, you have to get your cardio in because you walk like maybe 12 holes or something like that. It all depends on the course or what have you. But the first two holes, I lost two discs in the river.
bloop. Ain't getting them joints back.
Nah, I ain't getting them back because I'm damn sure I ain't diving in there to get them back.
Real
I'm
life.
Like, Eric, let me go ahead and pay you for these discs right here, bro. I'm not jumping in. But the second day, I brought my disc. And you know, normally when you invest in something, you treat it a lot better, right?
Real? Okay.
Yeah, man. So I made it like at least three-fourths of the course. And my man Dom, shout out to Dom, don't feel bad about this, man, but I was smoking his boots for like the last three holes on the course. You can say pause whatever you want.
Saying nothing, bro.
Okay, all right. I ain't know if this was one of these pause days.
I was going to, but then I was like, nah, you good. You say you don't do it. That's cool.
I mean, this isn't a part of a legitimate conversation. You can't talk about golf until you talk about a hole in the ball. All right, so whatever. So the last three holes.
Somebody gonna write pause in the comment section. Watch.
It is all good, man. And what I can say about that, add a comment right here. Nigga, pause your life. All right, that's all I gotta say. But anyway, the last three holes, man, I lost my disc. But my whole goal, for real, I just wanted to get good. And if I gotta lose my disc to get good, then that's just what it is, man. You go all out.
If you got good, you know, that's what counts, bro. I've never even heard of this thing. So if you were able to get good in a couple of days, then
no. More power. All right, I'm okay. I'm not even going to say that I'm good. I'm okay. I know how to throw the disc now. I know how to release the disc, right?
All
right. You know, I got my little form down. You know what I'm saying? Now, but I'm not good. I'm getting there. But I tell you what, I will fry anybody in Maryland that want to holler at me about some disc golf now.
I bet you would, because I'm sure ain't a damn there. Body in Maryland heard of disc ball.
I know where there's two courses at, and I drove past one yesterday.
Look at you. You about to be team captain with nobody on that mug.
It's all good, because when I get to the South and the Midwest,
you're going to have to import cats from Dallas, Negro, and Houston. And
I'm coming straight out the trap.
Real life.
I'm bringing a trophy to the trap, Slim. Disc golf. Never seen it like. Never seen no one like it. Who comes from the trap to the sand trap?
Not a body.
And man. Wear some trophies in disc golf.
Not a body. You know
exactly.
Why?
It'll be me that do it.
Exactly.
All right, man. Enough of this nonsense, man. Hey, we got a dope show today, man. We got our good friend up in here, DJ Mem. Hey, look. Excuse my voice. It's a little bit raspy, man. One of my kids gave me some love. And I'm just trying to spread love, but anyway.
Hootie hoo.
Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, what's good?
Man, life, man. Life is good, man. You know, to me, I believe what we do right here is very unique because we actually get to have these conversations that we normally have after club hours,
right,
or in passing about something that we're truly passionate about, right? And we're dealing and working with you on several platforms, from the nonprofit side, you know, with Will Raffle Food, with you show up continuously. You like that. You like that Trey shot that Steph Curry shoots. It's like automatic. You know, I see you there. And from there all
that's
the
a
way.
Lot.
But I'm saying, man, I mean, this is real talk. This is real talk. And this is why I salute you and celebrate you and want you to be on here, because of the fact that the person that I know that you are, you know what I'm saying? Then on top of that, you know, you do go, you know, your distance with the local artists here.
Try my best to, man.
True, you know what I'm saying? True.
It's
true.
Like, it's hard to preach. You know what I'm saying? If you're not really walking the walk.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Mm. I mean, I'm not above, you know, anybody else, but I'm a dedicated person. You know,
for sure.
I think people overuse the word loyal.
Yeah.
But I'm a dedicated person. You know what I'm saying? If it's time permitting, I'm in there. I'm
right.
You know, we make sandwiches, we pass them out.
Sure.
We do our thing, you know
sure.
what I'm saying? It's an artist that, you know, it's hard out here. You
yeah.
know what I mean? And I feel like, especially with artists, you can't become better unless you're given opportunities. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Because we're quick to sit in the audience and say, damn, Shorty don't really know how to perform. He or she doesn't know how to do this, but you don't,
right.
you, I mean, it's hard to naturally know how to be a performer. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So unless
right.
you're constantly on a microphone in front of an audience,
sure.
how can you get better?
You can't.
You know what I mean?
You can't.
But then the flip side of that is, mm-hmm. as an artist, you got to be hungry enough to put that work in. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Don't think because you got a song or a mixtape out and all your boys is rolling with you, like, yo, Shorty running uptown.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But
right.
dude screaming in the microphone. He can't perform on an instrumental. Mm.
So look, check this out, man. You're speaking from knowledge and experience. Like introduce yourself to the creator.
Oh, my bad.
We're gonna talk to him. That's how we do.
Exactly.
We're gonna get back to that.
Right. But let the creators know why you qualified to talk your shit.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, DJ Mem, it is what it is, man. I've been in this game DJing in and around the DC area since 08, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen a lot of artists come and go, but we're going to talk about them in a second. We'll talk about myself for a second. So,
for sure.
You know,
we'll get back to them.
I got into this game DJing with a lot of the go-go bands, you know what I mean? I had residency back at the CFE. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And even though I'm born and raised in D.C., I really started in Maryland clubs. Like I said, CFE, Martinis, Club Elite.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, working with the bands back then. And I really wasn't all that interested in the quote-unquote club scene.
Right.
But I stayed in that area because, I mean, that's the sound of the city. You know, I grew up go-go head, you know. Right. First go-go band I really started rocking with was Trouble Funk. You know what I mean?
Good
so
Lord.
I'm dating myself, you know what I'm saying?
No.
You know, after the Trouble Funk, of course, being a little young and listening to Chuck Brown, you know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Back then, Junkyard.
Yeah.
You know, transitioning to Backyard Essence.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then we moved into, especially with the CFE, you know what I call the three letter bands. TCB, UCB, EUB, AFE, AABS, AWW. You know what I'm saying? I call them, you know what I'm saying? Respect to them.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? But they the three-letter bands. They the trash can thumpers.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Because all their music sound like they banging on trash cans or an upside-down paint bucket. You know what I'm saying? But listen, you got to respect the paint pocket bucket.
Hey,
no,
you do.
Real.
You know what I'm saying?
That groove right there is just something that takes over.
It's something different. You know what I mean?
Even if you're out of town and you're there... Yo, 5 minutes in? You doing something totally different. You're like, oh, damn.
Yo, you got
it. From Baltimore, New York, be like, man, I don't be liking that. Go until they experience it. They be like, you know what?
You got to hate it or love it.
Absolutely.
Here's what I found. Let me tell you something about go-go, okay? So I went to college at Berklee College of Music, right? And
you're Berklee.
Yeah,
that's right, Berklee.
Yeah. And but,
throwing names.
No. But it's relevant. Because I had a friend from Bermuda.
Mm-hmm.
He's a drummer. Right?
People live in Bermuda?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, go ahead.
Shout out Leroy. Leroy Francis, right? But Leroy told me that he had, for the longest time, been buying cassette tapes of go-go music and having it shipped all the way to Bermuda just to shed to.
Yo, I can believe that.
That's the reach.
I can believe that.
That's the reach.
Hitting that
PA and that's from
Palace.
That generation you're talking about.
Yo, I appreciate that. Even though the whole story... sound real funny because you drop first he dropped Berklee, right?
For sure.
Then I'm assuming Leroy's black, right?
Yeah.
Leroy.
A black dude named Leroy, and he lives where? In Bermuda.
Yeah. Real life.
Really? Really?
I can pull him up. I'll show you.
I'll show you. Trust and believe. I'm gonna repeat that story like it's mine.
Feel free.
My boy Leroy from Bermuda. Want this go-go mix. I'm about to throw it up on SoundCloud for him.
Yo.
Sound like one of them stories like them African movies.
Yeah, that's exactly
it. It could be a low budget joint.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it sounds like.
That's how he came in with.
All right, look. Let's
came in with his own commercial.
So we're going to write this script out and we're going to sell it. All right.
Please do. Hell yeah.
It's a Tyler Perry movie. What can happen?
The African Tyler Perry movie.
Meet the Browns in Bermuda. Starring Leroy ass. Shout out to Leroy though, man.
I'm gonna tag Leroy in this episode just so he can get a good laugh.
Seriously.
Just so he can get a good laugh.
Hey man, you know what? The first time I met you was when we were at the 9:30 club. And we had a room up there. Proverb had
we
a room.
We wasn't in the room by ourselves, was we?
No. Okay. All right.
I was like,
Let's clear that up.
I don't get into that.
We didn't have a room together, but there were dressing rooms.
Okay.
And everybody was getting together for one of the events that Ian did. It was like one of the sneaker pimps. That's right.
Because I still got my t-shirt that say, the t-shirt says pimp, right? And you know, when they were giving them out, I had my shirt. I got a small one for my wife. Right. But the funny thing is, I had two mediums, right?
Okay.
I gave one to my brother-in-law.
Okay.
And one to my father-in-law. Oh, now, Leroy, right? Generous. Leroy was the black guy in the story earlier. Well, my father-in-law's name is Tom. Oh, the whitest of white names, but I gave Tom, who's Lily. Tom is Lily White. Tom.
All right.
And Tom. He's from Pennsylvania. I gave Tom that shirt.
Good old
I
was Tommy like, boy.
I said, it's a medium, right? So we chilling. We go up there for Thanksgiving. And my father-in-law had on a button-up for dinner. So, you know, cooking in the house, it got a little warm in there. So he took off his button-up.
Right.
Lily White had on his pimp shirt tucked into his khakis with his belt on. And we was like,
white socks and sandals.
That.
The shirt socks and sandals.
But that's fitting because he's Tom.
That's
from Pennsylvania.
My cliche story, yo. Man, shout out to my father. Hey, his
respect.
Name is Tom.
From Pennsylvania.
Yep. Respect.
Bama name Tom.
Oh, all right. So back
we was
to
at
the story.
Sneaker Pimps at 9:30 Club. Yeah.
Right. But you were chopping it up with Fat Trail at the time.
I was.
And we kind of and
Pearl Free and I, Trail. Trail still locked up. Anyway.
Right.
Fast forward.
Right. But really, that moment to me, like that event, kind of like had everybody on the headliner who's reasonably doing something to this day.
Yeah.
Or who's accomplished something to this day.
Right.
So. From there, let's talk about like the progression from like that whole scene all the way to now, you know, as far as like artists that we've seen, you know, come and go. I've dealt with a handful of them from Pro to working behind the scenes with like Risa to JIDK, actually developing him and the Holy Tribe and all that other stuff. And also just working with other artists in here, quote unquote, managing or advising.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing I've seen that's been consistent across the board of things that has worked is just knowing that the quality of the music, once you get past the quality of music, you have to work it outside the Beltway.
True.
But also have like your business affairs in order and make your music ready and accessible for the DJ.
Exactly.
And that's the first thing I preach. Wow. Just like out of all that, just like make sure that whatever you're doing, make the record accessible for the DJ.
You know,
make
I don't
sure
think we talked
have
about
like
that
a
yet.
Thumb drive, mm-hmm. CDs, crashes, the computer they try to load up in the middle of the set or whatever. So like what are like some of the things that you suggest, like, you know, new artists, if they want to actually get their music to and get their music to you, and some other things they should have, you know, in pocket, like how to set up their music for BDS or whatever.
Let me tell you something. Before we even get to the device that the music is on,
okay.
Talk to them.
Let's talk about a little engineering, right? Okay.
Let's talk.
So, hey, studios can be as large or as small as they come, right?
For sure.
But again, it's all about the quality of the work that's coming out of that studio, right?
Right.
So if you go in and recording in your man's,
right,
with an S,
right,
bathroom,
sure,
and this Bama is not an engineer, your song is not going to sound like it's mastered, right?
Good luck.
So when I got to max out my gain, okay, on my mixer to play your stuff, there's your problem. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of artists, it's like, guess what? I always tell them this. If your song knocked and rocked because you were playing it off of your phone, I need to amplify that by a million to play it out of a sound system. And if it was cracking and snapping on your phone, you know what's going to sound like some trash in the club?
Facts.
Just the basics.
Now before we go too far, artist comes to you with that nonsense. How many times do you show love and play that stuff or try before it's like, all right, bro, I can't.
I don't try. But the thing about me is I'm very honest. You know what I'm saying? And whatever I'm going to say, I'm just going to say it right to you. You come up to me and you know, it's hard not to judge people based on appearance, aesthetics, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But you come up to me and was like, hey, what's up, ma'am? Can you check out my CD? Right? Yeah. First thing I'm going to do is look at the CD. I'm like, well, damn, you wrote on the joint with a Sharpie. the little sleeve that is in is crumbled.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's got like a spot of spaghetti sauce on it.
Right.
I'd be like, bro, for real, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to listen to this.
Presentation is every freaking thing. Because I look at it like this, you wouldn't turn that work into like your professor.
No. Diddy wouldn't walk through the club and you won't hand him this shit, are you? No.
Hell no.
So anyway, it's
not like that, right?
It's as simple as that. But say you the opposite artist.
Right.
You got your joint package, your plastic is pressed, you got a cover.
Sure. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And the only thing I'd be like, yo, if I put this CD, and this is the question I ask, because sometimes you can't judge a book by a pretty cover.
For sure. Real life.
I put this joint in my computer. Right? And when I go to read this, is this just going to say song one, song two, song three?
Wowzers.
Song four. And then I got to go and look at the cover and be like, oh, this is song number four featuring whoever. It's not labeled. You know what I'm saying? Those are basic things.
It's too much work.
Because if I lose the cover and I just got the CD, how do I know whose music this is and what the songs are?
Yeah.
That's the foundation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you don't have that kind of you're in the wrong game. Stop rapping, stop singing,
stop it.
And find you a car wash. Not to
Sam's
drive
Club
your,
is always, not, no, is, not to dri- Sam's car wash not is to, always her.
Yeah, exactly. I'm about to say, not to drive your car through, but to participate in the wipe down at the end.
Wipe down only.
Mr. Squeegee.
That's all I got to say about that.
I think she said enough. But
I ain't shit.
No. But no, man, it's really important because I've been in many situations where the music would be fine. Hold on. No. There's only one situation I've been in where the music was straight, but the levels weren't like at a regular, you know, at competition level.
Right. Like it wasn't really like mixed down.
Right. It was, yeah. And that right there, shout out to DJ CeeLo, fired me up about it. And I was like,
not the funk regulator.
I mean, you know how he is. He won't get it to you straight.
Lord, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He won't get it to you straight, but with love though. You know, and from then I was like, you know what? The way I started looking at the music now is that I really have to match it to what's on the radio now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So when it comes down to the music, man, absolutely. All your sonics, if it's similar to say, you know, I don't know, Trap Queen or whatever. You know what I'm saying? You mix and your song actually sounds something similar to that. Maybe same instrumentation. And you might be rapping the same whatever. I mean, A-B mix it.
You got to A-B mix it.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
comparing
how it
to
is.
It, the gain and all that.
Okay, let me look.
What's up?
When you A-B mix, you put the track you want to reference in the session.
Yep.
And you just hit mute. And you play your record. You hit mute. You play that record. And you just go back and forth to make sure that your stuff is comparable to what you want to aspire toward. So when we say A-B, that's what we mean.
All right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Thanks for clarifying that.
That was Music 102.
That's right. Mr. Professor.
That's what I
That was the class beyond 101. You know, 102, right. But it's just basic. You know what I'm saying? It's just basic stuff. You know what I mean? And I always tell people, I'm like, listen, you know, if you're an artist, again, you know, you don't have to have a studio at home.
Right.
But the best thing that you can invest in is get some monitors. Get some decent monitor speakers.
There you go.
That you plug up your aux cord at home and pump that shit. You'll see how it would sound if it was in a club.
For sure.
Even more than a good mic. I would agree that a good set of monitors.
I mean, if you're not recording yourself, you don't need the mic, but you need the monitors.
But you need
what I'm
the monitors.
Because
you
if
really
I plug
do.
It in and it sounds like I opened up my kitchen cabinets and all the dishes was like, not only are we going to roll out, but we're going to wash ourselves and then jump onto the floor. Like, that's a problem. But that's all I got to say about that.
I love how at the end of every statement is that's all I
got
to say.
That's all I got to say about that.
But it's genuinely like that's what I'm saying. But you said so much.
No, but it's real talk for real. It's real talk.
I mean, it's true. It's true.
No,
I mean,
I'm just serious. Stuff, you know, because sometimes when you say stuff to people at face value, they be like, okay. But sometimes you got to really give them that visual analogy. So you be like, oh, well, damn. It was like that?
Yeah, man.
You know, when you tell you who's hard to deal with when you really trying to like bring it to them up front or even paint the picture, freaking singers, man.
No, no, we're the worst. Oh, I just like to apologize, man, to singers. We're the worst. We're the worst. We're the worst.
Even your best, worst. Every singer has a pitch problem.
Yes.
Sorry. It's yes.
Absolutely.
No,
it is. Does.
It's the truth.
No, it's not. It's not alternative.
It's true. It's true.
Facts.
It's true.
Absolutely.
And it's okay.
No,
you
it's
know
true.
What I'm saying?
But it's true. That's why they constantly working. You right. know what I'm saying? Whether they working on their vocals or they working on their Tabari, he can go in for that because he does vocal training all the time. And mm-hmm. you see some of the best constantly do vocal training except Mariah Carey. She's the only one that don't.
Wow, shots fired, okay.
We all know that, though.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
Mariah has something else in her throat, but it is what it is. You can't.
We might talk about that on another episode, and we'll bring you back.
You can't spend 6 winters of your life with Nick Cannon and not have something in your throat. I mean,
you know.
I mean, I'm not saying it like that. It's corn. That Bama is corny. You feel me? So it is.
God,
what it
I love
is.
This show. Holy crap! I
no,
love this
no,
show
but
so
let me
much.
Tell you something.
Corn
Nick
the
Cannon
cop.
May go down in Cream history as the corniest Negro in America. However, that man is about his business.
What?
And I totally respect the Nick Cannon game, but I will not listen to a song. I will not watch a video.
I just like, respect Nick Cannon as a rapper.
I like how he takes it in stride.
He should take it as a joke.
Yeah, but everybody who appears on Wild Out comments on the bars, the sales that are non-existent.
Right.
And then Mariah. That's the one thing they bag. And he always takes it with a smile.
Exactly.
Respect.
Cause, I mean, because he got with Mariah pretty much. I mean, she had passed the highest point of her career, but she wasn't where she was now.
For sure.
And even when she was on that slide down the slope, your wife won't even record with you. Problem.
Yeah.
Damn. Message. Damn, ma'am. I never thought about that.
Message.
Because think about it. Listen, if me and whomever are together and we both in the same industry, but you're 7 steps above me, I'm going to try to get you at least a step 4. You know what I'm saying?
I would put, if I
had faith in you and your talent, I'm going to put my name on the line and record with you. Your wife wasn't even feeling you, dog.
I don't know. Was Nick trying
and
to push
his And that's all I
got to
say about that.
You know, because you know what? Within that time, remember, Nick ended up taking over Nickelodeon and some more stuff. So, I don't know. Maybe he put
that
rap
behind. But he was doing non-music stuff. But the Batman was still dropping songs. I would see it in the record pool.
Yeah. No. He was definitely still dropping music.
He was dropping songs.
Boom.
He got a song out right now. Scroll.
All right. So, look. Mims, let's talk about record pool. Like, is that even a thing anymore?
Oh, I mean, yeah, well, that's where most established DJs get their music from. Others just copy YouTube videos and convert them to MP3s.
For sure.
For sure.
For sure.
That's why their songs sound like some crap in the club. Like,
right,
where'd you get your music from?
Right, because they're not getting the files from
the
record
highest quality.
All right, so now, let's talk about that, because that's another resource that artists are not
taking advantage of,
or they don't even know that it even exists for real.
I don't know, but somebody know.
When you tell you who knows, people that probably are either at the label or folks that know how to package an artist.
Because I get excited when I see indie artists pop up on the record pool.
Really,
you know what I'm saying? Because honestly, just like when Will the Rapper joint popped up, and I was like, you know what I'm saying?
Is that a DJ Mem thing, or is that like DJs and
no?
A
this
whole?
Is a DJ. Let me tell you, there's a record pool out there called Franchise Record Pool. Record Pool.
I'm hip to that.
For your listeners, DJ Flex, New York's DJ Flex. That's his record pool. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And it's mostly all mainstream music, R&B, hip hop, reggae, top 40, that type of stuff. Right.
Right.
I'm looking in the pool, so if I'm looking in the pool, a DJ in Japan is looking in the pool, a DJ in Cali is looking in the pool, Will the Rapper pops up.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? This is before the joint was really bumping on the radios. You know, because that's how you get access to the music early.
For sure.
I was like,
that's good.
Yes.
That's good. And it really don't take that much to actually, you know, get into a pool. Or get your record.
It must take
a
lot, because I very rarely see a lot of indie artists in other cities too, but sure. I very rarely see, you know, that indie music making its way up. You right. know what I mean? But right. of course you got your, you know, you got your logics up there.
Sure.
And stuff like that. But, you know, these other cats.
Right.
It's not happening.
So what was the record pool that we was working with?
Damn it.
With Q?
With Q, yeah.
Sorry, we got to get back to that.
Yeah, we'll get back to that.
Yeah. But,
Parking Lot.
Yeah. No. What'd you say it was called?
I was calling it The Parking Lot. Like, we're going to come back to it.
Yeah. Exactly. Stick a pin there.
Question for you about the record pool.
Yeah.
So with sites like SoundCloud, your Bandcamps, and all this other stuff, where I find is most indie artists are kind of pushing that.
Mm-hmm.
How important is it for them to still be a part of these DJ pools? I just kind of want them to hear from you.
I mean, I think it's important to be in a part of the DJ pools, especially if you're pushing a single. You know what I'm saying? But all your, you know, outtakes from your mixtape, you know what I'm saying? It didn't make it to the mixtape, but you got them all on your SoundCloud. No, that don't belong in the DJ pool.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But if it's a song that you're working,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? You guys know, even for mainstream artists, it takes them at least a year and a half to work a record. You know what I'm saying? Sure. And I'd be, you know, just like, real for talk. Example, you know, yep. Trap Queen hit.
Yeah.
Fetty had been pushing Trap Queen for a year and a half before Trap Queen hit. And that happens with most singles.
Facts.
You know yeah. what I mean? So you got to put that work in, but make sure that single is ready.
Right.
Because when it's ready, it's you got to be ready.
Yeah.
Right. You don't know where it's going to go.
You don't know where it's going to take you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, just like you mentioned, because you go, and that's one thing that I do love about record pools is that, you know, you have your DJs that are just like regular, you know what I'm saying, on-air DJs,
mm-hmm.
prime time slots, all the way to like your bedroom DJs,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And but it could be five bedroom DJs that have, you know what I'm saying, that have consistent DJ gigs that can grab onto your record,
mm-hmm.
and they are actually pushing a record because they might like that record. The next thing you know, it just start growing like wildfire.
Well, let me make this one statement, and I've said it before. You know, I'm not a radio station DJ, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And I totally respect a lot of my brothers are on the radio.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But I think when I started getting into this whole DJ game, I had a different philosophy, especially when it came to people from my city.
Right.
You know, I felt like if I was really about it, you know, artists need to do their work.
Yeah.
But I should kind of find out who you are.
Right.
Before you even come to me. You
right.
feel me? If that makes any sense. I feel like a lot of the radio station DJs have this ego that, well, first of all, you need to come and see me in the club five times before right. you speak to me.
Right.
And did you send me a bottle before right. you sent me your record? It's like, well, right. what are we really here for? You
right.
know what I'm saying? What's the purpose?
Right.
Because this like for Risa Renee. Her yeah. Risa Renee, a hook on Proverbs song 6 years ago.
Right.
When I heard her on that hook, I said, I got to find this girl.
Right.
Risa had no project. Was barely starting a music career. Look right. at where she is now.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And I got interviewed in a national magazine at that time. And it was, the spotlight was Who's Next. So they had a DJ from just about every major market in the U.S. pick Who's Next from your area.
Mm.
I picked Risa Renee.
Smart bet. Smart pick.
You know what I'm saying?
And she works hard.
She's grinding.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And yeah. she's just that type of artist. But Risa stepped in the game to me feeling like she was already polished.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She
real
had
the
image. She yep. had the music. She had a band behind her.
Right.
And it wasn't Risa coming to me saying, hey, Mem, listen to my music.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I was interested in following her and figuring out how her career was going to go.
For
and
sure.
I think a lot of DJs just have that ego like, well, shit, I'm on the radio. You need to come holler at me.
Absolutely,
who you
man. I think
who you holding yes. it down for, though, for real, at the end of the day,
right?
But that's real all talk. I gotta say about that.
No, man, because you know what, we address
it's
we
address, important, man.
We address these issues before. We might have brought that up. I know we brought that up like quite a few
definitely,
times.
We definitely brought that up.
We brought that up quite
sure.
a few times.
For sure.
But I seriously believe that, you know, the DJ to me is like one of the core pillars of the culture. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And for real, of course, how it started is that you guys, you know what I'm saying?
Broke right? records. Broke artists.
Exactly.
Artists. Because for real, the radio stations, they're not interested in that. Which we said
which
that before.
Which sucks.
But they're not interested in breaking any artists anymore, right?
They're not. But everybody want to get on the choo-choo train.
Everybody want to be.
Once that notoriety start popping.
But
you know what I'm saying?
Remember back, at one point in time, it was cool to be like, We played that record first.
First.
And they used to always drop it. You heard it here first.
But they don't even do that no.
They don't even care.
They don't even do that no more. So I seriously believe that, you know, DJs such as yourself, you know, you guys become, to me, I think you guys become like, between you and like DJ Heat, Anonymous, like it's only a few of you guys who actually like go in for the artists, and I really call you guys like the pillars of the of the community in this area. And every time I say that to every time I say that to Heat, you know how Heat is. Yeah. Oh yeah, go ahead. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it's real
because you don't really think about it. You know what I'm saying?
I'm pretty sure you don't even think about it, right? You know what I'm saying? But you know, without you three, you know what I'm saying, actually pushing for the artists, like, what would this be? You know what I'm saying? What would this be? And so in return, I tell artists, I said, you know what? Make sure that you take care of your DJs.
Yeah.
That's my first thing, like, all fucks. Every artist I work with and develop, like, look, make sure you take care of your DJs, because you're going to need them, and they're going to need you as well. And to create that relationship, to me, I think that's very, very important.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Is to make sure that, you know, the DJs, the ones that's in the line of fire constantly, you know, taking these hits when your record drop, and they believe that this record is hot, but the crowd ain't responded to it. So then they got like, damn, am I losing the crowd on my set or not? I mean, that's a sacrifice, right?
Right, it is.
You know what I'm saying? And then you got to come out the transition and work that out. But
yeah, it's like we got to have a vested interest in each other.
Yeah,
you know
for
what
sure.
I'm saying? Because a lot of times when I listen to music from the local artists, I'm always listening to it. And in my brain, I'm thinking, what could I mix with this? You know what I'm saying? Because the easiest way to break an artist is to play something mainstream, bring them in, and then bring in another song. Right. Because there's always going to be that one person that comes up, man, what was that joint you just played after 2 Chainz?
Right.
It's a local music.
But man, you know how to break. Man, you know how to break an artist. You know how to break a record.
I try my best.
But see, would you just explain on how to break a record? Not to me.
That's a good question. That's a good question. Is that a skill that DJs need to learn, or is it just that DJs ain't really trying to take that risk?
That's a whole nother show, man. We in the same city, man. Y'all already know. Bama's pull up with a laptop. I'm a DJ. Right. You know what I'm saying?
I hit space bar and then walk away.
You know what I'm saying? Anybody can drop the latest 10 hot songs on the radio and play them joints repeatedly, but don't mix them because they on the mic between the songs, because they can't mix them together,
right?
And claim that they rocking a party that they just played for $50 in a bottle. It is what it is.
Damn,
that don't pay my bills.
$50 in a bottle. And yeah,
I mean, that's, you know, we ain't calling out, but it happens.
I'm hip,
and I'm like, y'all can have that.
I'm hip. You right.
You know, the club game is for fools, for real. It's all about the promoter. The promoter.
Or promoters.
Whoever, all of them, it's all about them. Because if you look at a flyer, it's boom, 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 boom. All their names across the top, a broad in the middle.
Yeah.
The name of the party.
Right.
Bottle service, something else. You might see the DJ's name on the flyer.
Might.
And it'd be way at the bottom. And if it's a picture, you're like, wait, who's that? That ain't that person.
That's no respect.
Yeah, nah, you're
right.
Man.
You're right.
Because if I turn this music off, what's going to happen? Everybody going to go home.
Go home.
Exactly. But you can go get the $50 monkey to play for you if you want to.
And there's enough of them out there, for real.
Yikes.
But anyway.
But they mix sound like train wrecks.
The dishes jumping out the closet, man.
On the floor. Wait, they got to wash themselves first.
They got to wash themselves.
My bad. I got the story wrong. They got to wash themselves first, then hop on the floor. Okay.
Jump on the floor.
Real life.
Right.
Real life.
Hey, you know what? Let's go on this quick little break right here. Break.
What's up, y'all? This is your boy Tabari, aka the Brilliant Professor. We're going to do something a little different this time around. We're going to pay a little tribute to the homegirl from the DMV, London Dior. Yep. That's at Lundy Badass. She lost her life today, but will always be remembered through her music and her contribution and being right here from the DMV. Y'all check these records out. You can find her on Spinrilla, and you'll find a link to her mixtape on Spinrilla in the description down below. Y'all check these records out. Tell me what you think.
Even harder, got the windows tinted, but I see all haters. No, they sick, I said, then bitches' faces, so I keep it short and get no conversation. I'm a nigga temptation. Sex with me is so amazing. Now this bitch investigating. She a PI in the making. Got your nigga tiptoeing on my Marvel flow. He ain't gotta go home, but he gotta go. Let you come in with us. Loyalty every day, and I pray and hope your loyalty will never change. You're my heart, so please remain the same. I ride for you, 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 baby. Oh, I swear I would die for you, 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 baby. Oh. Know sometimes I cuss you out, but baby, I'm afraid that one day you gon' end up calling someone else your babe. You gon' fuck around and make me catch a case. I'm straight in any bitch to try to take my place. I was there when we was walking, catching buzzing trains, until you came up on some money, started switching names.
You, first off, who are you?
Ask me to check on my last nigga. Make me to check in my ass, bitch. I'm tryna count up this bag with ya. I just got rid of my ass, lick. Bitch, I'm on point like stiletto, letto. Flexing and counting the Nero, Nero. I think they make us some poppin'. Because it's who got to my poppy. Had to make rapping a hobby. Swishing that dash in that Robbie. Dashing that Robbie. Pull to the hill to see Molly. Then we pop my lead with Carly.
Molly with Carly.
This boy keep calling my phone. Fuck boy, just leave me alone.
Fuck nigga.
These hoes, they copy, they clone. I sit alone on my throne. We just get richer and richer. I chop it up with my bitches. Roll up the perp in the swishes. This nigga perp made me vicious. All of these niggas are vicious. Pull up some lick for my issues. Shit on these bitches, no tissue. Blow these bitches like a whip.
First off, who are you? Yo, swagger dripping, glistening in my shoes on Jimmy Choo.
From all of us here at the Two Bros in the Studio Show, rest in peace, Lundy Badass. What's up, y'all? Welcome back to the Two Bros in the Studio Show. I'm your co-host, Barry Fingle, a.k.a. the Brilliant Professor.
Boop, boop, boop. I mean, you came in too soft for me. I had to bring the noise or something, man.
Should I do it again?
Yeah, man. Act like you from Bermuda.
Jesus Christ. This for you, Leroy.
Just for Leroy.
What's up, yo? I'm the Brilliant Professor. The Two Bros in the Studio Show. That's exactly how he sounds, too.
That's
a good Leroy.
He sound like a bloke?
He kind of does.
Oh, is he from Baltimore?
No, he's not from Baltimore. He's not from Baltimore, I promise.
No Doug, I promise. No
I knew I heard a ooh or a
yeah, yeah. They got that, too.
In Baltimore.
They got that, too. Real live.
Shout out to my folks in Baltimore, man. I love y'all, man. Nobody on this earth has an accent like a Joker from Baltimore.
Hashtag real. Baltimore to Bermuda. Real live.
And anyway, I'm Hawk Brogan.
That's it.
That's right.
That's Hulk Brogan.
We're just going to get him Hulk Brogan because you know what? No, not right now. Right, we got to get back into this conversation.
Right, let's get back in there.
Right now.
Let's get back in. Who we talking to?
We talking to DJ Mim.
What's up?
Look, man. We done aired out some frustrations. Hopefully, them creatives out there, y'all listening.
They better be.
Man, take care of your DJs, man. I mean, be ready.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You just can't be chucking your CD or your USB at DJs, man. And your stuff ain't formatted. Your name, when they pull them up, you know what I'm saying? Your name ain't actually on the song. The song title, not your name, and then track one.
Damn. I'm like, my software can't even read the beat per minute. Like, what the hell is happening here? Trash.
It's kind of important. Yeah. Kind of important.
I would deny it too. It's like, dude, you're making me think. I don't want to think right now.
Right.
I'm trying to like figure out. My job is to figure out how to put it in the mix. But right now, I don't even know who the hell
I can't mix the shit because I don't even know who the name is. None of that stuff.
Absolutely.
Artists need to realize that it's almost like a carton of eggs. You know what I'm saying? Pick up one carton, but it's 12 in it, right?
Sure.
So that means it's dime a dozen. Oh, everybody's an artist in this area. Everybody's an artist, a chef, or a DJ.
Damn.
That's kind of true, though.
What about Instagram?
That's kind
of
true.
And all three of these people really Instagram don't have models. Any schooling to make this happen. You feel me? I don't have to go to school to be a DJ.
That's true.
I don't have to go to school to be an artist.
Right.
You know, and I don't understand why people skip culinary school and they call themselves a chef.
You technically can't.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You technically can't.
No, but it's a lot of chefs that did not go to school.
Oh, that's not cool.
They just started cooking. You know what I'm saying?
This but is broke anyway, out of pots and pans. That's and all I'm a chef.
this is not gonna wash themselves.
You know, it's until people that they call do. Them, and listen, I don't fire shots. I only speak facts and not alternative.
Not alternative.
See, I'm catching on.
And I feel you. No, but some people really are blessed with the gift of whatever they do. Some people really can cook their butts off. They didn't have to go to culinary school. I'm not saying you got to make all these things happen.
I'm just saying
that people do cut corners and skip through some stuff and really aren't that good at it, but want the title.
And
they want the notoriety. You know what I'm saying?
But man, anyway, forget the title and the notoriety for real, man. I just want to be respected for real.
See, the problem is,
I for real, I just rather do it for the love.
But the problem is, the industry is
literally.
That's my point.
Thank you.
The industry is set up that the person who markets themselves the best is the one who wins, not the person with the most talent or the person with the most skill.
Yeah, it's marketing and who you know.
So if I'm taking my time to go to culinary school, meanwhile, Joe Blow down the street, who ain't half as good as I am, is making it, that's motivation for me to go, all right, well, I need to...
Got to work a little harder.
I got to jump out there, maybe...
And network.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You got to know how to do it.
You know?
You know what I'm saying? There's no reason to sacrifice your skill and your talent.
Do both of them.
Exactly. Do both. Because that person is not going to have longevity.
Work at your craft and network.
Yeah.
Work and work.
And both of them. The same time.
Twice. At the same time.
In tandem.
Mm-hmm. In tandem.
Yep.
All right, so look. Let's talk about, I don't know, where you think the future of the music industry going to go? I know that's kind of like a very vague, but yet somewhat specific question. It can go anywhere.
It can. It's like both of them at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, obviously the future of the music industry is really with the whole streaming and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Pushing sales is not where it's at. And where it's not going to go back to the way it was.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? 10, 15 years ago, you could drop something and go platinum. Everybody was going platinum. You know what I'm saying? Because you had no other way to get the music but to go and buy it.
That's
But now then piracy came through and kind of blew that out the water.
Yeah.
You know, but I think people need to think outside of their areas. You know what I'm saying? And really, you need to think outside of your country. Because the biggest market in the world is international. You know what I'm saying? And it's cool to push your music, but like, you know, try to get with an engineer that can give you like a dance beat, an EDM version of your song, because that's where the money is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Afrobeat, you know what I mean? Because you got bammers in Asia that can't even speak English, but they rocking the music because they like a certain sound.
Let me let you know what I'm saying?
And they do like hip hop over there too, but you know, you can go everywhere in the world if you have world music. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And dance music is the most heavily supported music, downloaded, purchased music in the world. You know, so that's my advice to local artists. Any artist for it that's independent. You got to think outside that box, and sometimes that box is outside of the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that one, man. Because you got to think about this: the platforms and stuff that we are on and we're exposed to nowadays, like Spotify, so forth and so on. Like, you just don't know where your music going to go to. But if you're not prepared to even think to how to capitalize on, say, someone in Germany, Shout out to our listener in Germany.
Yeah, respect.
Yeah, we have a listener in Germany that listened to our show.
We have a view.
Yeah. And he actually wrote into us and we answered one of his questions.
Mm-hmm. Shout out Noah.
Yep. Shout out to Noah. He's doing well now.
Yeah.
And he just needed some advice on how to jump his producer career off.
And that's good.
You know what I'm saying? So you just don't know where your music is going to land into the hands of or any of your art or your creation is going to land into the hands of.
But with the streaming thing,
mm-hmm. I think that and we talked about this off air.
Mm-hmm.
I think now it's all about packaging. You know what I'm saying? I think it's all about packaging. Like, physical sales can still happen, but you have to make it an experience, right? So downloading is what? You just clicking the download button.
Mm-hmm.
It's no real experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that Tuesday everybody was rushing to go to like the Tower Records or the Kim FYE, Mill. The Kim Mills.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody experienced that anymore.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that you know, if we start thinking, you know, when I say we, you know, I'm just talking about we as in creatives, start thinking about the end user, the fans, you know, and how we can probably get them to experience something that they haven't experienced.
Well, check it out. While, you know,
never before. Then maybe physical sales could be a part of that.
You right? know, the new maybe. Movement, possible, huh? The new old movement is to bring back vinyl.
Exactly.
That's and, that, like, and folks vinyl, are like,
getting, vinyl has jumped up 300%.
Yeah, getting limited edition copies of their freshly made projects put on wax, and the wax is like green or neon orange, and they
but
got
I see. I think,
stuff.
But yeah. I really think that people are getting those type of things, like they're getting shoes to resell. Nobody's buying this vinyl because they're gonna spin it. They're not buying this vinyl to play it. Most of these people buying these records don't even have a record player at home.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? It's all about the investment. You know what I mean? Because no matter how it's packaged, because some people be like, yo, I just love the way vinyl sounds. I get it.
Right.
For your personal listening.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, we're just kind of beyond that era. And I used to like that. I used to love going up to Iverson Mall and getting stuff. And even before it closed, up until last year, I was still going because that's where it had a good go-go selection.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then PA Palace caught on and was like, yo, we gonna make all this stuff digital. Now I can go on PAPalace.com and get go-go from yesterday all the way back 20 years.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? We have to we have to think about the future. Because one thing is for sure is the future is always going to happen. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Whether you're ready or not.
You got to be prepared for it because honestly, you know, if you put out a project and, you know, a lot of times people not interested in hearing all 10 of those songs. They only want two of them.
Thank you. You know what I mean? We say this every time this topic come up. It's like, bro, I don't know you. Why are you giving me like 20 songs?
I tell artists that all the time. You don't have a fan base and you want to record. Now these people are trying to pay me to record their albums. And I'm like, yo, respectfully, I could just take your money. And I'm totally cool with that if that's what you insist on. But I got to tell you up front. You have no fan base.
Nah.
You have no career yet. There's no need to do an album. There's just no need.
And drop a double mixtape.
That'd be your first project.
There's no need.
Yo, whether it's fire or not.
No, I don't care if it's fire. I'm telling you. Obama handed me a sleeve with two CDs in it.
No.
I was like, I said, yo, did you stuff an extra one in here? He said, nah, man, I got a double disc.
What?
Really?
And you said that with all confidence too. Like, yeah.
I said, please tell me it's four songs on this one and three on the other. His name was Leroy.
Leroy.
I'm playing.
Kiss my Converse.
Kiss my bumper.
Oh man. Lord. First off, that dude was amazing. I love that dude. Kiss my bumper.
He had the marketing. He had the marketing. Yeah, yeah. You know, it was very low budget. What was it? Go Gepco.
Go Gepco.
Let me tell you, I've never met in my 30 plus years on this earth, I have never met anyone who had Gepco insurance.
Never.
Never in my
never.
Life.
Never. I met more never. People that had MAFE.
Never met anybody with Gepco, man.
Gepco.
No Gepco, Joe.
Took a mean loss. Yeah, they took a mean loss. They're like, well, you know what?
Yeah.
Our commercials are funny. Yeah. They're making people laugh.
No, but their marketing department winning.
About to say, not only.
Somebody's winning.
But it wasn't even about the marketing. When you think about it, in the big scheme of things, somebody had to have Gepco insurance because it takes a lot to advertise on television.
TV.
And
right
I swear their commercials is always on.
Constantly.
All
if you fell
different versions, different iterations, remix.
Hello, if you fell asleep at midnight and woke up at 3 a.m., a Gepco commercial was on your television.
Gepco was waking you up. You was waking up going, go Gepco, wiping saliva from your mouth.
Hello,
listen.
All right, so look, listeners. If you're not familiar with Gepco commercials, I know this is a DMV thing, right?
Please
go on Google. Go on YouTube.
He all on YouTube.
Go on YouTube. Go on YouTube.
Let me tell you, there's remixes to the Gepco commercial.
Are you serious?
No doubt. Yeah.
No, we might have to put some links in the description, bro.
They trap it out yet? They trap a Gepco commercial?
I think they got a hillbilly music version. They got EDM.
Come on.
No, I kid you not.
No. I love those remixes, man. I love when they take like newscast broadcasters and they remix them into songs. Nick, that one dream was like climbing in your window, locking your people up, trying to rape them. So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids.
Oh yeah, to do Antoine, whatever.
Dotson. Yeah, I think
it's Antoine Dotson.
He got a whole wife and kids now.
What? You serious?
Yep.
You said what?
He has a whole wife and kids. He was delivered.
What?
I've been delivered.
I kid you not. He, seriously, he does. If you Google him, he has a wife and kids now.
Real life.
Yeah. Is he trying to go for an acting role or something?
No, I mean, this is his family. Okay. Seriously. They did a profile on some show I was watching, but he has like a 4-year-old and a whole wife. So he had a kid 5 years ago. So, I mean, yeah. He's totally converted his life. He's no longer a creepy gay dude looking through people's windows.
Hey, all right, so look, this is how we're going to end this one. Yeah. What do you think was the best Wale project? Come on, man. Don't think hard.
I would say my favorite one was What to Do About Nothing.
Did you really like that project?
I did.
I think that was probably his most complete project, but that Ambition project seems to me like it had a little more sting to it because he was like the quote unquote angry Wale.
See, I kind of go against the grain. That's how I operate. You know what I'm saying? And the Wale debate is probably 5 episodes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, I've always appreciated him as an artist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think a lot of sometimes I equate Wale. The pressure people put on Wale was the same pressure people were putting on President Obama. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
They expected that Obama was going to be the black savior because he was black, but he had a job to do. People expect Wale to be the DMV savior, but he has a job to do too.
For sure.
So all of he can't put on all of the rappers from Mo County, all the ones from Uptown, and all the ones from PG. It just doesn't work like that. And don't put that type of pressure on an artist.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's like it's hard to want to succeed when you got all these expectations from people.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? It's unfair for people to do that. You
dealing with your career.
Exactly.
And it's hard as an artist right now to sustain a career. And shout out to Wale for 5 albums in.
Damn. I mean, I'm sorry. How many times does this man have to say DC, Maryland, and Virginia on his songs that people be like, Wale don't never shout out the DMV?
Man. Exactly. Now, your boy Logic made the statement. He said that he was he's the biggest artist.
The biggest.
From the DMV.
I believe the quote was the biggest.
Yeah. He said he was the biggest artist from the DMV. And you know what? I give it to him.
It's debatable, but
his sales and his fans and his impressions and all that stuff. Yep. We talk about the numbers. Yep, I agree.
Numbers don't lie.
Yep. Well, they do. Because people lie and people can make numbers lie.
I'm not talking about YouTube. You know, I got YouTube.
Right.
Nah, because when you're not a mainstream, quote unquote mainstream artist, and you are selling out arenas and people are coming to your shows and you off the grid,
I'm
going to give you that title.
Exactly. And you can't fake the funk on that, right? Now, when it comes to Wale, you know, my argument will be that I believe that he's probably the most influential rap artist that we had came from out of DMV.
Influential, I would say,
Yeah, and I'm talking about, you know, our culture and everything well represented.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even consider Logic being in that same lane.
No, but they in two different buckets.
Two different buckets, exactly. And when people bring them up for debate, I'm like, nah, I can't do this. You're not going to make me pick one or the other because it's like asking an elephant to chase, to race against a hippo or a cheetah or something. It's not a fair race. We're talking about something totally different.
Right.
You know, we're talking about two different type of metrics right now.
And it's not it's not enough to even try to compare. You know what I'm saying? Because we can rattle off 5 to 10 people from Atlanta in terms of rappers. But when it comes to our area, we have our feud is at the top.
Right.
And there's no need to crab them together.
There's enough space.
There's
enough space. And I hate when people try to do that. You know what I'm saying? Oh, well, you know, you got a Wale, then you got a Tabby, and then you got, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. Let's say the rock group, Red, Green, Gold. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are the spectrum of artists that are actually, you know what I'm saying, that made it out here doing it. But mm-hmm. it also shows that how versatile this area is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So to me, I believe that, like, all that crap is just totally unfair to try to, you know, try to pin them all, put them in one, you know, one bucket and choose the best.
Right. It's almost like, I mean, and we can end on this note. It's almost right. like the Hefe versus Trail argument.
Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
It is what it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I see them as two both different and dynamic artists of their own.
Right.
I definitely wouldn't put them in the same bucket.
Yeah, I wouldn't put them in the same bucket.
No, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't either, man.
But we wish them all well.
I'm
glad Shy is no longer shooting grandmamas in the titties. And I hope, you know, I hope Trail is able to resolve his legal issues.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely, man. Shout out to both of them brothers, man. I wish them well.
Yes.
You know, on their endeavors in the future, you know, to actually just to watch, you know, especially with Trail, actually watching him develop as an artist. To me, I believe it was just something amazing for real.
Yeah. But they definitely, but you know, represent their area as well. And,
yeah,
you know,
for sure.
It's going to be, you know, it's people watching, it's kids watching. So I just hope that they stay on the right path in their careers and.
For sure. For sure. Real talk. Real talk. I think we need more examples.
Exactly.
No doubt.
Leadership.
That's right.
Leadership.
Leadership.
Yes.
Leadership.
That's right. Check out my mixtape. It's dropping in December.
All right, so look, there you go. Plug time.
Oh, that's it. No, I'm just kidding.
No. You got other stuff going on.
Man, I mean, it is what it is, you know. Keep up with your girl on social media. It's DJ MIMDC. And that's it.
You got your show, right?
Yeah. Oh, also, I'm on Bliss FM Tuesday nights, 10 p.m. to midnight, Lit Radio. Shout out to my team. It's Kitty, Tony, and Trey. And yeah, we out here.
Jill.
I appreciate y'all for having me, my brothers.
Definitely. No, man. Appreciate you. Definitely. You know what? Can we give them a bro name?
Sure. I don't know if
he
I
better
have.
Not be Leroy.
All right. So we had some bro names, right? Sambone was Bro Montana.
I can see that.
So of course, you know, Tabari over here is the brilliant professor. I'm Hawk Brogan. Our cameraman is Martin Bro Stacy. Mm-hmm. And what did we give Bro Jackson? That was to
is that Heat?
No. We haven't had Heat on here yet.
Gadget.
Yeah. Dude, he's been doing a whole lot of videos. He runs Scratch Magazine TV now.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, he's doing his thing.
Let me see. Well,
Yep. Yeah. All right, so what we got?
Should I bro myself? I'm Beretta Scott King.
Hey!
Booyah! Write that down.
I mean,
that
I could have said I was Bropra, but that was too cliche.
Hey, you know what? What did we give Candace? Because I did
Scarlett Bro Hansen,
and then Fitz.
Scarlett Bro Hansen is what we gave her.
Right,
that's Fitz. That's right. Broretta Scott King signing off, y'all.
Booyah! Hey man, look, appreciate you sliding through.
Absolutely.
I know we've been trying to make this happen, but we made it happen.
Yes. To be continued.
That's right. No. Seriously. Once you're on the seat, you got, you know, another opportunity to hop back on the seat.
I'm with it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yo, bro.
Yeah.
Professor.
Mm-hmm.
What you think?
Man, this was a dope episode, man, as always, but this one was a particular funny one. I always like the funny episodes.
Yeah, this was a funny episode, but you know what, though? This is how Mim is, right?
I never got a chance to hang in the past, so this was dope.
Yeah. So shit go in, but if you're listening, you might learn something.
You might learn you something.
She'll shoot you some dots, and you walk away. You're like, is this blood?
Is this blood?
Guess I should have been talking shit.
Thank y'all, though. I appreciate it.
Show.
Yo, creatives, if you're not following us, follow us at Instagram and Twitter at Two Bros Show.
At Two Bros Show.
And then belly flop on over to SoundCloud.
Please do.
At Two Bros Show.
At Two Bros Show.
Make sure you repost, comment,
like, share.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Hold on, yards.
That's right. And then, I don't know, wobble on over to...
Wobble, baby. Wobble, baby.
There you go.
Right on over to YouTube. Over to YouTube. Absolutely.
Type in the Two Bros in the Studio Show.
Uh-huh.
Then you're going to see two hands and faces up on your screen. Yep. And then there's going to be a subscribe button somewhere along the screen. And mm-hmm. when you find that subscribe, make sure you smash that. That's right. And tell a foe, tell a friend. Yeah. Most important, creatives, keep creating.